you brought something to our church last year and to Extreme, into the lives of young people. Wish you were back at Extreme this year. Maybe next year, we'll see that. But you're ministering in Europe now a lot, aren't you? Based in Germany with Ben, but you're also going other places in the world too. What a little stroke of dynamite you are. You're just amazing. I called you the firecracker because you set things alight. So this morning, bring us the word. May you just impart in the hearts of people today. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Rob. Can we give it up for your incredible pastors, Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise? You know, they are two absolute heroes in the Australian church. And being back here only 11 months after I preached here last year, I just feel a fresh wind is blowing in this church. God is doing a new thing. Yeah, amen. You can give the Lord a hand for what He is doing in this place. It is so exciting. There is something in the air. And I was just reminded as we were on the front row just worshiping this morning of that verse in the Old Testament in the book of the prophets where it says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." I really truly believe that for this season of the church, God is doing a new thing in this place. He's doing a new thing in this church. He's doing a new thing across the life of the church. I've been able to hear about what the Lord's doing in the youth and the young adults, just moving so powerfully. And I just felt that here this morning as well. And so I would encourage every single one of you, lean into what the Lord wants to do in and through your life and through this congregation, because there's something special going on here right now. And thank you so much, Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise, for having me here this morning, ministering here in Mackay. A lot of my family lives in Geelong, Victoria. So I came over from peak summer in Europe, and I was ministering in America, and hit the terrible, horrible Melbourne winter over the last few weeks. And so when Pastor Rob is like, "Hey, do you want to come preach in Mackay?" I'm like, "Absolutely, I will be there tomorrow. Yesterday I'll be there," you know. And so it's a blessing to be here in Mackay. It's a blessing to be sharing the word. If we haven't met before, my name is Layla, and I was born into a Muslim family. My dad is Iranian, mum's Irish. I was born in England, raised in New Zealand, spent most of my life living in Australia, and now I live in Germany on the border of France and Switzerland. So I tell people I am the United Nations. Like, I should have been here last Sunday night for the Nations Night. But I was born into a Muslim family, and when I was about 5 years old, a neighbour of ours came to our house and shared the gospel with my mum, and Jesus absolutely turned our whole world upside down, saved us, healed us, set us free, filled us with joy and life, set our hearts on fire for Him. And so today, I travel the world preaching the gospel. I lead a missions movement that is called the Burning Hearts Movement, and we have projects all over the world, in Europe, in Asia, in Thailand, in the Middle East, working with the Underground Church, and also just recently launched in the Pacific region, in the Pacific Islands. And so God is moving to reach hundreds of thousands of people through our ministry across the globe. So we give Him all the praise and we thank Him for what He is doing. And I'm so excited about what the Lord wants to do here in our midst this morning. You know, it's my greatest joy to serve and to love and to know Jesus. And I believe that He wants to come and move in this place today in a powerful way. I want to share a message with you this morning that is entitled, "The Holy Spirit's Building Process." The Holy Spirit's Building Process. When we want to build a house or we want to build a particular building, unless we're builders ourselves and we can do it all ourselves, we need to choose a building company that we are going to build our house with. You know, these companies, they have different options of what style you would like to go with, but they have certain ways of doing things, certain ways of building the house that they are going to build for you. When you choose to go with a particular building company, you sign up to the building process that that builder has. You commit to their way of doing things. When you sign up to a building process, when you want to build a house, there are a few general steps that are involved. The first is the planning and the preparing. The second is the setting a foundation. The third is the framing and protecting. And the fourth is the interior fitting. You know what? As followers of Jesus, we choose to build our lives, our families, our careers, and our ministries not according to the ways of the world, not according to the patterns that we see around us, but we choose to build our lives, our families, our ministries, everything that is in our hands according to the Holy Spirit's building process for our lives. If you believe that, why don't you say amen? And in the book of Nehemiah, we are introduced to a man of God who knew how to follow the Lord's building process, who knew how to commit to the Holy Spirit's building process in and through his life. And so if you have a Bible, I would love it if you could turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to read the story of Nehemiah this morning. Says the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year. While I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are a great trouble and disgrace. Are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We're going to jump down to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, probably just over the page in your Bible. It says, and I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good. And also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. The book of Nehemiah tells us the story of about how the people of God rebuilt the broken down walls of Jerusalem. We see that the people of God were in a time and a season where they were returning to Jerusalem. They were returning after they had been taken into captivity, and they were returning to the promised land. This was the promise that God had for them. They were going to inhabit their promise. But we see as they return to inhabit their promise, the walls of the city are broken down. Now, the important thing that we need to know about the walls of a city, especially in this time in the Bible, is that the walls of the city speak of protection. The walls of the city speak of advancement and authority, because when the walls of a city are broken down, we know that the enemy has free access and free reign to come and take whatever they want at whatever moment they want. And so the walls being rebuilt was incredibly important. As Christians, this is so important for us to note today, because when we are saved, we enter into the promised land that Jesus had for us. We enter into the promised life that Jesus had for us. We enter into the calling, the destiny, the newness of life that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. But this doesn't mean that we don't have any work left to do. Just like there are broken down walls that the people of God had to take authority over in the Old Testament, we know that there are broken down walls in different areas of our lives that God has called us to advance in, to rebuild, and to take authority over in the promises of God today. Maybe we see some broken down walls in our relationships. Maybe it's in our family. Maybe we have family members who are far from God. Maybe it's in our business. We have a promise from God and we feel like we're not fully inhabiting the promise. There are things that the enemy has done to try and take those things away. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, when I go and I travel, especially when I'm in America, one of the first questions that people will ask me, being an Australian, is it true that the spiders are everywhere all over Australia? And I'm like, no, they're showing me videos that they've found on TikTok or Instagram about these horror spiders that are all over Australia. I'm like, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And when I'm trying to convince them that, you know, there's not a lot of spiders in Australia, and I've never been bitten by a spider that I know of. Apparently you eat like 6 spiders in your sleep in your lifetime or something like that. So I don't know if I've had encounters with spiders like that. But I tell them, like, I've never encountered a spider bite. I've never had any problems. But I think of 2 stories in my life where I have sort of encountered spiders. And one was when I was just a little girl in school, and I was at a swimming lesson at school. The kids were in the pool. I had forgotten my bathers that day, so I was sitting against the wall and just leaning against the wall and watching the other kids swim, when there was just a little bit of a hole in the wall. And so I had my hand behind my back and I had my fingers in the wall, and I was just sort of like wiggling my fingers around, when all of a sudden something started to tickle my fingers. And I'm like 5 years old, so I start laughing. I'm like, ha ha ha. I keep wiggling my fingers in the hole in the wall. And it dawns on me that I should turn around and have a look at what it is that's tickling my fingers. And so I turn around, and to my horror, I see this black spider with its little claws that's out tickling my fingers. So I scream, it's horrifying. I was like, what's going on? I didn't know that I was playing with something that could potentially hurt me. When I was older, when I was about 21 years old, I was living in Adelaide in South Australia, and I was in ministry there. One day I was driving on my way to the gym, and as I was driving, I looked up to the visor on my roof in my car, and as I looked up, there was a huge huntsman right above my head. Now, the fear that gripped my soul in that moment was overwhelming. I did not know what I was going to do. All of a sudden, I was like, what is going on here? This is crazy. I was about to crash my car, burn my car, whatever I had to do to get rid of that spider, right? And so I immediately pull over to the side of the road. I'm on the side of the road. I'm like, what am I going to do? I grab my gym towel. I grab the spider in the gym towel. I open my door. I put the gym towel on the side of the road, and I drive away as fast as I can. And it's interesting, it's just a funny story, but it's interesting how when I was little, I was playing with something that had the potential to hurt me. I was playing with the enemy, so to speak. But when I grew, when I matured, when I was older, I knew to get rid of that thing as soon as I possibly could. I knew how to take authority over that spider that was in my car, over that enemy that was trying to come against me. And I believe in the same way, as we mature in Christ, as we grow in the things of God, as we grow in the ways of the Lord, He wants us to grow into people who aren't just playing games with the lies of the enemy and accepting what he is trying to do in our lives and accepting his authority in our lives. But no, we are people who would stand up and say, no, I am going to take hold of this thing. I'm going to take authority over it, and I'm going to live in the blessing and the promise that God has for me in every area of my life. If you believe it, why don't you say amen? Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, we see that it says that the people say, let us rise up and build. And I believe as we choose to submit to the Holy Spirit's building process in every area of our lives, we are choosing firstly to make a decision to rise up. We are choosing to rise above the ways of the world. We are choosing to rise above the lies of the enemy in different areas of our lives. We are choosing to rise up and take hold of heaven's blueprints for our circumstances and situations. In the book of Isaiah, God says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and so are my thoughts above your ways and your thoughts." I believe that the Lord is calling us to rise up as we start the building process with the Holy Spirit. He's calling us maybe to rise above disappointments in certain areas of our lives. He's calling us to rise above distractions, to rise above regrets, to rise above limiting mindsets, to rise above the shame and the pain of the past. to rise above maybe false starts or things that we failed in the past. He's calling us right now to put those things aside and to rise up and build according to the Holy Spirit's building process for our lives. When we commit to the Holy Spirit's building process, I believe there are a few steps that we can expect along the way. And the first one of these steps in the Holy Spirit's building process is number one, the alignment of the heart. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued in fasting and prayer before the God of heaven." We see that when Nehemiah is gripped by the plan and the purpose of God to go and rebuild the broken down walls, he was found in a pretty comfortable position. He was found in the king's palace. He had an amazing job. He was very wealthy. And he didn't have to take up this call, this mission, this mandate to rebuild the broken down walls. But we see that Nehemiah aligned his heart with God's heart over his circumstances and situations. Nehemiah aligned his heart with God's heart over his people, over his nation, and over the plans and purposes of God for his region. Nehemiah was willing to be caught up in the mission of God for his life and for his world. And we see that he brought his heart into alignment with God's heart over his circumstances and situations. You know, the first step of the building process after we rise above all of the things of the past, I believe the first step of this building process that the Holy Spirit wants us to go on in different areas of our life today is aligning our heart with God's heart over our circumstances and situations. Maybe it's for a loved one, maybe it's for your marriage, maybe it's for your finances or your career, your business, whatever it's for. I believe that the Lord is saying, "I want you to catch my heartbeat for that circumstance and situation." He wants us to hear his heart. You know, there are so many benefits to alignment, even in the natural. And I'm no mechanic. I am no, as you could probably tell, I am not that great with cars. And so I don't really know much about cars. But when I was searching the benefits of a wheel alignment, I found that there are several things that we can take hold of that really align with a heart alignment with the Lord as well. The first benefit of a wheel alignment is greater fuel efficiency. The second benefit of a wheel alignment is fewer repairs are needed for your car. The third benefit of a wheel alignment is safer driving. And the fourth is better handling. And I believe that the same could be said when we align our hearts with the Lord's heart over our circumstance and situation. We experience greater fuel efficiency. We don't wear ourselves out doing things in our own strength, striving in our own abilities. Maybe you feel like you've been doing things in your own strength today. You feel wearied by the things that you have been putting your hands to. I believe today, as you align your heart with God's heart over your circumstances and situations, he wants to bring fresh strength into that circumstance today. He wants to bring fresh grace, new life into that space today. We also need fewer repairs when we align our hearts with God's heart, because we go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. We're not constantly blowing up our lives in different places because we're doing things his way. Maybe you need fewer repairs today. I encourage you to follow the Lord's alignment for your heart. We also see that there is safer driving. And I believe that the safest place we can be when we align our hearts with God's heart is right in the center of God's will. You know, even for our ministry, we are in some dangerous places in the Middle East, working with the underground church in Iran. I have video calls with people where we are talking to people and ministering with people who are being taken to jail. Their lives are under threat. It's dangerous out there. But do you know what I have found? That the safest place that we could ever find ourselves is right in the center of God's will for our lives. There is no place I would rather be. And the last thing we see is better handling. When our hearts are aligned with God's heart, we are led by the peace of God in every area of our lives. We're led by his grace and by his anointing. We're maximizing our full potential in him. The second part of the building process that the Holy Spirit has for us today is the foundation of the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 8 to 10, it says, "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand.'" We see in this passage of scripture that Nehemiah followed the building process of the Lord. Firstly, he aligned his heart with God's heart, but secondly, he stood on the foundation of the Word of God in his circumstances and situations. He built upon the foundation of the Word. And I believe that the Lord wants to lead us into a place in the Holy Spirit's building process where we are building upon the foundation of the Word of God in our lives. You know, my brother and sister-in-law, they live in Brisbane. And so over the past week, I've been in Brisbane hanging out with them, spending time with my little nephews. And they are almost 5 years old and almost 3 years old. And I don't have any children of my own. So I am learning a lot about kids as I spend time with my little nephews and I hang out with them. And one thing that I have learnt very quickly since they could talk about children, and especially young children, is that if you say something to a child, if you make a promise to them, or if you even just say something on a whim, you better make sure, come hell or high water, that you are able to fulfill that word that was spoken. Amen. And sometimes it might be out of my control. Like, I tell them that we can play with cars after dinner, and actually their parents want them to go and have a bath and go to bed. And so when something like that happens, when it gets to after dinner time and they're not allowed to play with their cars anymore, my poor little nephews, they'll look at me with these big round eyes, tears welling up in their eyes, and they'll say, "But Auntie Layla, you said..." "But you said..." And all of a sudden, it's not just the playing with cars that's at issue or at fault. It's my character that comes into question whether or not my word is true to my little nephews. Do you know what? In the same way, the Bible tells us that God is not a man that he should lie. The Bible tells us that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God proves true. The Word of God tells us that we can call upon His Word in our circumstances and situations. And so every time we are faced with a broken down wall, every time we are faced with a circumstance or situation that doesn't quite line up with what God has promised and what He has spoken over our lives, over our circumstances, I believe that we can take His Word and we can tell our situations what our God says. We can tell our situations what He has spoken over them. We build upon the foundation of the Word of God. The third part of the building process, if the worship team could join me, I believe is the lifestyle of prayer and faith. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was cupbearer to the king." Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4-5 then says, "Then the king said to me, 'What are you requesting?' So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it.'" Here we see that Nehemiah lived a lifestyle of prayer and bold faith. The Lord has spoken to him about going and rebuilding the broken down walls, but he is the cupbearer to the king. And he is in a different city, he is in a different nation. And so he has to believe God, that God will make a way where there was no way for him to be able to go and rebuild the broken down walls of that city. He had to go to his boss, who actually had the power to kill him if he was unhappy with him. And he had to request from his boss, leave. Not only did he have to request leave, But he had to request for the resources to go and rebuild the broken down walls of Jerusalem. And so the king asks him, Nehemiah, what do you want? What can I do for you? What do you need? And the Bible tells us that Nehemiah said he prayed to the God of heaven and he made his request. He prayed to the God of heaven and he made his request. We see that the king granted him everything that he requested. He was able to go and rebuild the broken down walls of Jerusalem in record time. And I believe his example teaches us to be people who know how to be led by the Spirit in our everyday circumstances and situations. Maybe when we're in our workplace with our boss, maybe there's something that the Lord has called us to do in our families. Maybe it's for our finances, whatever area of our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us to tune our ears into heaven, to know what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do, to be led by His Spirit in every circumstance and situation. And when He speaks to us, we are immediately obedient to step out in bold faith and say, okay, King, this is what I need. To step out in bold faith and do what God has called us to do. You know, my family, half of my family lives in Ireland. My mum is Irish, as I mentioned. And so all of my aunties, cousins, uncles, everything like that live in Ireland. And a lot of them are Catholic in name only. They don't really have a vibrant relationship with the Lord. And so when I go over there, I'm always witnessing to them. We had a tour in Ireland last year with Burning Hearts. And so I was going around and we were doing these glory nights in different cities around Ireland. We were seeing amazing miracles take place, healing signs and wonders. It was just wild. And my auntie, who I was staying with in Dublin, she said to me, Layla, I've got two hearing aids that I've had to start using. She had no hearing in one ear and the other ear was starting to lose hearing. I think it was about 80% lost at the time. Just crazy thing that was happening and it was rapidly deteriorating. And my auntie turned to me and she said, I'm so afraid of what's going to happen if I completely lose my hearing in both ears. You know, it's crazy. I don't know what to do. And she just said, Layla, like when I was telling her about the miracles, she's like, Layla, do you think he would heal me? Do you think he'd heal me? And I was like, well, we can pray. I believe God can heal you. I believe in miracles. I believe in healing. I believe he can. And so I said, let's lay hands on you. Let's pray for you. And so me and a few friends, we laid hands on her. We prayed for her. We saw her just delivered of some stuff that was in her life, just fear and different things. She got deliverance and she got prayed over. And I was going back to Ireland, going back to Dublin in April, in May this year. So I was with her in November last year and I hadn't been back until May this year. And she hadn't told me anything about it. She hadn't messaged me about her hearing. She hadn't told me about what was going on with the hearing aids or anything like this. And so in May this year, I was going and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to, you know, talk to her about like, what do we do when we don't receive the miracle that we're believing for? And how do I pastorally work through that with someone who's not a believer, you know, and all of this. And so I'm preparing myself for that. I get to their house. I'm there late at night. I'm just talking to them and my uncle goes to sleep. And my auntie whispers to me. She's like leaning in and she goes, Layla, I think I'm healed. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I think I've been healed. I was like, what? I was like, why haven't you told me what happened? And she's like, yeah, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it. But since you prayed for me about a week later, I didn't have my hearing aids in and I was in my bedroom and all of a sudden I could hear my husband, my uncle, brushing his teeth in the other room. And she's like, I've never been able to hear that before. She's like, I went downstairs and I could hear the birds chirping outside. I could hear someone turning the light switch on from the other room. I was like, what the heck? What's been happening? And she's like, yeah, he's healed me. God's healed me. I believe in him. He's changed my life. She's like, I want you to tell me everything. Yeah, praise God. I want you to tell me everything I need to do to follow him. We went to my other auntie's house and she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. She's been battling with this crippling arthritis. And we go there and we're sitting down, we're just chatting. My auntie, the one that's been healed, she's like, you need Jesus. You need God to heal you. Get her to pray for you for healing because God's healed me. You know, and she starts to witness to the rest of our family. She is on fire for God. God is moving in her life. And it all started with a little leading of the Holy Spirit and boldness to step out in faith. I believe that the Lord wants to break out in miracles all the way through our lives in every circumstance and situation we're facing. The fourth and final point I want to finish with today is that the final part of the Holy Spirit's building process, I believe, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "And the king granted me what I asked for." Why? Because the good hand of God was upon me. The good hand of God in the Old Testament, it speaks of the anointing of God. The good hand of God would come upon people in the Old Testament and they would be able to accomplish things that they couldn't do in their own strength, in their own gift, in their own ability. But when the hand of God came upon them, they could do supernatural things. I believe today, if we want to be builders who build our lives according to the Holy Spirit's building process, then we cannot do it without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do what we are called to do without the anointing of the Holy Spirit empowering us, equipping us to do what He has called us to do. Do you know what, church? I believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit today can empower you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. The anointing opens doors that we cannot open for ourselves. The anointing draws resources to us. The anointing marks us with the favor of God. The anointing strengthens us. The anointing prepares the way for us. The anointing makes a way where there is no way and brings the miraculous power of God into our circumstances and situations. So in just a moment, I would love to pray for everyone today who would say, "Layla, I want to build according to the building process that the Holy Spirit has for me. I want a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit." I would love to pray for you in this service this morning. But before we do, I'm going to ask every single person in this place just to bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The most important thing that I can do in this room today is give you an invitation to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 31 years ago, me and my family, we responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our lives were broken. They looked like the broken down walls of Jerusalem. Our family was broken. My parents were split up. Everything was going wrong. My mum was in a state of depression. Our life was not on a good trajectory. And all of a sudden, someone shared the gospel with us. They told us that Jesus loves us, has a plan and purpose for our lives. They told us that Jesus died on a cross to save us from our sin so that we no longer had to try and struggle living life our own way with our life in our own hands, but we could put our lives in the hands of Jesus and we can live in His plans, His promises for us. We could live in relationship with a holy God who would wash our sins away and invite us into relationship with Him. We could go to heaven when we die, but we could also live in heaven on earth in a relationship with Him, living in His plans and His promises for us. Maybe you find yourself in a circumstance and situation today where you would say, "Hey, Layla, I feel like I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Maybe you came with a family member or a friend today. Maybe you have experienced, like my family experienced, just those broken down walls of everyday life. Maybe you've been walking through the valley. Maybe you feel so overwhelmed. You're like, "I don't know where else to turn. I don't know what else to do." I believe that you're here for a reason this morning. I believe that Jesus has come to save you, heal you, and set you free. So maybe if you're in this room and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or if you're in this room and you'd say, "Layla, I once did make a decision to follow Jesus, but this morning, if I'm honest, I feel distant from Him. I don't feel like I have that close relationship with Jesus. And if I was to die tonight, I don't know whether I'd end up in heaven or in hell." I want to tell you today that you can know that you know that you know that your eternity is secure in heaven. that you have a relationship with Jesus, that you're living in his plans and promises for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, on the count of three, I'm just going to invite every person in this room. If that's you, if you want to pray a prayer of salvation today, if you want to invite Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, or you want to rededicate your life to him this morning, I'm going to invite every person who wants to pray this prayer just to lift up their hand on the count of three, and I would love to pray this prayer of salvation with you. One, two, three. Amazing. I see that hand down the front here. Yes, on my left, I see that hand as well. Amazing. Anybody else in this room today? I see your hand, sir, on my right. I see your hand in the center, sir, as well. This is the best decision we could ever make, to surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus. I see your hand on my far right, sir. This is the best decision you could ever make. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else in this room, you want to give your life to Jesus today? You want to surrender your heart and your life? I see you, ma'am, on my left over here. No greater decision that we could make than to put our life in the hands of Jesus, to surrender our lives to him. Amazing. Anybody else in this room, just give me a wave if that's you. It's about five or six people that have raised their hands to give their lives to Jesus today. And I would love it if we could just stand to our feet. We're going to pray a prayer of salvation. For those who are praying this prayer, who lifted up their hands, I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer from your heart to God's heart, and he will hear this prayer. He will receive this prayer, and you will be saved. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be saved. So I'd encourage you to pray this prayer from your heart today. And if you're not praying this prayer for the first time, you're just joining with our brothers and sisters, I would love for you to pray this prayer out loud as well, so we can join with them in welcoming them into the family of God today. Can we pray this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, today I thank you for dying on a cross to save me from my sin. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, you are the only one who can save me. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. I take my life out of my own hands and I give it to you. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we welcome our brothers and sisters into the family of God? So proud of you guys. This is amazing. I know Pastor Rob is going to come up in a moment and he's going to tell you how you can get started in this relationship with Jesus. But I'm also going to open the altar. I'd love to pray for people. I'll continue praying after the service. If you're in this room today and you want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, you want a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon you to build what you're called to build, maybe there's some broken down walls in your life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a business venture. Whatever it is that you're asking for a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit on, I would love to pray for you, pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you in a fresh way today. Maybe you're in this room and you need a healing miracle, or you may need a breakthrough. I would love to pray for you as well. I believe that there is faith in this room for miracles, faith for breakthrough, faith for healings. And so if you need a miracle, if you need a healing, I would love to pray for you as well. And the ministry team, I'm sure, will join me as well. So can we just lift up our hands to the Lord? The worship team's going to lead us, and I'll hand back to Pastor Rob after as well. Holy Spirit, we pray right now that you would just come and you would move in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank you for signs and wonders and miracles. We thank you for a fresh anointing that is going to be poured out in this room on every heart, on every life, on every business, on every family. God, we just release the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this room today, Lord. I pray for strategies. I pray for divine downloads from heaven. I pray for breakthrough. I pray that you would make a way where there is no way, Lord God, for us to build the things that you're calling us to build, and putting our hands to the things you're calling us to put our hands to. Amazing. If you want prayer, you can come to the front. Thanks, Pastor Rob.
Okay. Just if I point this out, if you put your hand up to come to know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come over onto the right side over here and meet a guy named Angus. has some material. We want to help you on your journey, and so you come and meet him, and he will give you that material. Now, I just want to say this. Pastor Lalo was prayed for by a lady named Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker has a tremendous ministry in Mozambique, an amazing woman of God. She was prayed for by Randy Clark, a very well-known healing minister in the US, has been for years, who was prayed for by John Wimber. And what I'm trying to say is she carries an anointing of things that came down to her from Heidi Baker into her life. And before today's out, I'm going to get her to pray for me. I want an impartation. So if you want to come for prayer, you can. I imagine she will be praying again tonight, and you can be part of that as well. So that's 6 o'clock for our service. So we're just going to worship for a couple of minutes before we release the meeting. Why don't you just press into God? This is alignment that she's spoken of. Our hearts aligning with the Lord. We might know him. His spirit might rise up in us. We might fulfill what God's placed in our lives. We can live to his glory. Thank you, worship team.